Hello there, my name is Terry, and you're listening to the Animation Industry Podcast, and I just wanted to say thanks for listening to this podcast. Today I'm chatting with two guys who made a game. Those two guys are Will Todd and James Carbutt, and they're the makers of Thank Goodness You're Here, which is the name of the game, and it's this absurdist slapstick comedy game set in this town called Barnsworth in Northern England. Now, I originally met Will and James because I'm one of the animators on the game. You might have seen me post it on Instagram and whatnot. And if you haven't heard of it, your required homework for this evening is to go check it out and report back to me in the morning. This game is one of the most fun projects I have ever worked on. The humor combined with the silly, slappy, bouncy, and downright ridiculous character designs, along, of course, with working with the excellent chaps that are Will and James, was such a delight. And I'm so happy I got to be part of this game, and I'm so happy to grill Will and James on why they ended up making this crazy thing. Now, in our chat, they're going to share how they got semi-famous for another free game that they made a few years ago, which a lot of YouTubers like to kind of play for its shock value, and what it took to develop this indie game, Thank Goodness You're Here, on their own, pitch it to distributors, get picked up, get funded, and make something that's going to be available on PC, PlayStation 5, and Switch later this year. So without further ado, let's jump in.
Whoa.
Hello, James. Hello, Will. Hello, Cole Supper Boys. How are you?
Hello Terry. Very good.
Hello. I feel like I'm on like a kid show. Hello, Terry. Hello, James.
It's Terry the animator. Come to visit.
Yeah, what's up? And it's James and Will, the game devs who are probably tired and just want to go to sleep.
Usually, yeah, we're doing all right.
We're doing okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So well, we've just been talking for like 5 minutes. It's like, hey, Terry, look who's just come in.
Okay. Well, I originally found out about you guys because I played The Good Time Garden, where you're a naked little squishy thing, and you go around slapping other naked little squishy things. I don't even know how I found it. I know how I found it. I saw, James, I saw on your Instagram, I saw a twin squishy thing pooping out like a little baby thing from the game. Do you know what I'm talking about? This little, and I was like, what the heck is this? I don't know what this is. And so I immediately went and played it and then started following you. And then randomly my friend sent me this job application she found. She was like, hey, this looks like an animation style you would like, Terry, and they're hiring for a video game animator. You should apply. And I was like, what the heck, it's these guys. So no. I applied. I worked on your game.
Thought you did.
Yeah.
I didn't know that you knew like how it worked before that job application thing.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Totally. I mean, the only reason I applied is because I was familiar with your stuff. Because like people send me job applications once in a while and they're like, hey, apply to this thing. And I'm like, it's not my thing. But I saw that one. I was immediately like, I have to work on this. It's like squishy and funny and like adult silly humor. And it's like right up my alley. So I'm happy we worked together for like 6 months or something.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, us too. I think when we saw your portfolio come in, we're just like, oh yeah.
Oh, it's like us. One of us.
Oh no, Gooba. So okay, let's roll it back a bit. So why did you create Good Time Garden in the first place? Because that was like a free to play game. Did you make any money off of it? You just made it because you were like, let's make a game for no reason and learn. Let's us animators learn how to do game dev and just create this thing and see what happens. Like, tell me why you created Good Time Garden in the first place.
Well, I think. I've always wanted to make games. That's sort of what I studied at university and college, which are the same thing for you guys over there. But
oh, yeah.
British people will know what a BTEC means. and then we, after we graduated, we like, we were just hanging out one day and we're like, hey, we should do like a little weekend game jam thing. Yeah.
Fun weekend project.
Fun little weekend project just for the weekend. So you came over mine and we just sort of sat in my spare room and sweat it out for the whole weekend. You drew the little naked guy and we got him moving around.
Yeah.
And I think we tried like sort of small projects before that, but then this was the first time where we actually got something like...
You committed.
Yeah, committed and happening, and we had him moving around, and it like felt really good and exciting. And we just sort of like...
Yeah.
The more stuff we kept putting into it, the more excited we got and the more we felt we got getting out of it.
Yeah, yeah.
And then we ended up just like through that process of like enjoying the, just putting it hours in after our day jobs and stuff.
Yeah.
We kind of like got carried over like a year or so.
I think so, yeah, yeah. One more time.
Yeah. So
and at the end we had a video game.
We had a video game for people to see and play.
Yeah.
And yeah, we put it out with like zero expectations on itch.io, which is like a free gaming platform. And then we expected maybe that was like, yeah, we had 2,000 downloads, that'd be great. Mm. And then we got like, you know, that in like the first day or something, maybe more than that. We got to like the front page of r/gaming. Mm. We're like, oh no, man, people like it.
Yeah, yeah.
And then we were suckers. Very validated. And then we went on with our lives, and that was all we did with it.
Basically,
we're happy for it. actually, we decided to punish ourselves again and do another video game and get stuck in the cycle.
So you met in university. One of you studied game dev, and the other one was an animator. And you decided to you know, as young, finally free of university and making some money working lads, not spend your weekends at the bar. But in a spare room, like for a whole year doing this game. That's amazing.
actually, we met in school. Like, we were like 13 and we met.
Oh, so you like, met in like high, like I guess that's high school?
Yeah. Yeah. In eighth grade?
Wow.
Yeah. When you're 13.
No, seventh grade. Is it, I think it's the same
seventh
year.
Seventh grade.
I don't know.
When you're 12 years old, whatever age that is.
Whatever age, I don't know. Okay, so you're like friends for a long time. You make this game together. You spend a whole year on it, and you just are like, great. Now let's just release it on itch.io, and it gets like how many downloads in total has it gotten now? Do you know?
I think across like itch and Steam, like the last time I checked, which is quite a while ago, it was like I think it's about like 250,000 now downloads, which is a free game, so it's kind of like. Excuse the numbers, but still, that's like way more than
good when you say 250,000.
Yeah.
250,000 is also a big number. So, how did that feel to like release something you'd worked on for a year consistently together, and then just like step away and see it? You know, 250,000 is big. It like blew up. Like, did you ever think like, oh, I wish I had charged money, or like, oh, that was fun. I'm glad people enjoyed it, but like, I'm just going to continue on with my day life. Like, how did that feel?
I don't know. I don't think I thought about charging money for it.
Well, on itch, that's originally it was like kind of pay what you want.
Yeah.
Donationware type of thing.
Yeah.
Which again, we thought like maybe one or two people would maybe give us like a couple quid, but we actually got again quite a bit of money. Not like, you know, not a huge amount. Probably wouldn't have covered our salaries for the time we spent on it or anything.
Oh, absolutely but, not.
Yeah, nowhere near
a month's worth.
But yeah, that was enough of a vote of confidence that people were like, oh, it's free, but they'd also like will pay for it to
right,
to support
yeah.
us and stuff. So yeah, it was very validating.
Kind of when you were making it, were you like, were you intentionally trying to build something that you thought other people would like, or were you just kind of, you know, making something that you guys thought would be fun?
I think it was literally because it's like literally in our bedroom, like, well, we'll experiment doing it. It was literally like what we thought was funny. So like, even the goblin guy was just like, I can't express time enough how little thought there was into this whole process. We were just like, I just drew a goblin and then animated it, and then we'll make it move around. And then we just kind of like didn't think about it proper, but just like built out this world kind of just by like saying the first stupid thing. I think the other day I was like home for Christmas and I was looking through like some old sketchbooks and I found like the design document for the Good Time Garden, which is just a list that was like, we must have decided in one day. It was like boob man, tongue fat, slappy bum boy. And that was like the characters. And then we must have decided those up top and then just like built out the thing from there.
Can you, for people who are listening who haven't played it, because I'm just wondering if you can give like a one or two sentence overview of what this game is, because like if you Google it or like YouTube it, people p include it in like horror games and like stuff like that. I don't know if you've seen, or like the most disturbing game you ever play. Like, can you just give a short overview of this game itself?
You are a naked goblin boy born from a flower in a strange pink, like throbbing world, and you find food for your friend and like meet some little characters and guys.
Little guys, little
Yeah.
girls, maybe. I don't know. It's very ambiguous.
Yeah.
Everything's nude, but
Yeah.
in
Not in an erotic
not in an
way.
erotic way, just in a natural way.
Yeah.
Just in an, it's, I don't know. I guess I could add like it's a puzzle. It's a puzzle game. It's like find the item, find the right item, figure it out, and deliver it, and then do the next stage, kind of, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, it's barely a game.
Yeah. That's
Sort of from
fair. I mean,
the anti-game design school of game design.
yeah, okay. So you created this fun project. People seem to like it. Then you go off on your own careers for a while. And then what inspired you to make this next game that you've been spending years on now, I guess. Yeah, it's been years.
Well, I think we had the first like inklings of the idea for this new one before the Good Time Garden came out. And yeah, we were just chatting about what that could be, and the idea of these like vignettes as a concept that we kind of like cut quite harshly between. Yeah, I think we got excited about that prematurely. But then obviously wrapped up the Good Time Garden, finished that. And it took us a little while to get ramped back up again and kind of like, ride the come up and come down of releasing the first thing and then get it together to start putting a new prototype together.
Yeah, I can't remember when we started like in full force, but then like as soon as we like just decided it just sort of happened.
Yeah, I think like most things in like Cold Supper, I guess, as a project, it's been like we just started doing it and then it just became like normal for us to be doing these things or like in whatever. And it was sort of like very gradual, but also at the same time, all of a sudden process.
So at what point did you like take it more seriously and say like we're going to quit our full-time jobs to like work on this idea we have together and take it to the next level and make it something that is going to be like our career? Because that's a big jump to be like, because I like I don't know too much about like where you're working beforehand, but I know James, you were working at a studio before. So like
Yeah, we both had proper day jobs. I can't remember when I quit mine. I think I was very happy to quit mine at some point.
So at what point did you quit though? Like, had you been developing like Thank Goodness You're Here for a while or
Yeah, so we had Thank Goodness You're Here was like or what it was called at the time was in development, like the demo for like a few months. And then I think we started really taking it seriously when we got the first offer of funding. And as soon as that, it was like, it was, we, even though we had the success of the first thing, it was still this sort of like moonshot of like, all right, let's go for funding. No one ever gets this. It's like, it's so hard to get, a published deal and like funding for any kind of budget. But we thought, it's just like, let's just shoot for it. And, worst that can happen is we've done another thing.
I think I was a little more expectant than you. I was like, yeah, we'll pitch and we'll probably be completely fine, which is a terrible way to think.
I was like reading all the horror stories on like r/gaming of like yeah I quit my job and I've wasted all my savings and now I'm bankrupt. So yeah, I guess I was optimistic, but I was like, oh yeah, this is gonna be really difficult. But then yeah, I think as soon as we got like the first offer of like
It
a
was really
publisher,
difficult, to be fair.
but yeah, for sure. But as soon as a publisher was like, we will give you this money that you need to do it full time, we were like, oh right, it's a real thing. Okay, it's gonna happen. And I think from that point, we were both like pretty confident that like, all right, if not this deal, then something else, and then someone's gonna give us the money to do it. And then yeah, from then on, we were just like, all right, pretty much all in.
So like the first person to say like here's some money, it gave you like a lot of validation that you were on the right track. How do you, okay, so like say I want to develop a game right now and I've got something going on, like how do I even start to pitch or like find funders? Like that, like I know you're explaining like how somebody like is offering you money, but like how did that conversation even come about in the first place?
So, I think we can already speak to like the way we've done it. And it is also the way we recommend that, is finish something of like some sort of like substance first. The what everyone says is you finish like 10 games and do 10 little games before you do anything big, right?
10 games.
Yeah, that's like the kind of like the general advice, which we didn't do, and it's we probably have like
Hit the
paid the
price.
price for it, yeah. I think we benefit from having done and finished the Good Time Garden, putting it out there and having a good reception to it. And when we released that, we did then straight away go to publishers and say, hey, what do you think of this?
Oh, yeah.
Because we're going to pitch our next thing to you. And it was sort of like we did
Yeah.
kind of tee things up
Interesting. Interesting.
already
How do
with
you
those
even get in
conversations.
contact with publishers? You just like go to their website and find their email and say like, "Hey, we're just two guys who made this thing and we're gonna make another thing. Hope you like us. Bye."
Yeah, literally, yeah. I
That's
mean,
it, eh?
they do accept like a lot of cold pitches and stuff.
Interesting.
Others, I think you maybe need like a bit of like an in, or definitely you can help. But yeah, we find, especially with like the bigger ones, they were like easy to approach. Like ones that you might not have heard of were then very hard to get in contact with and were quite dismissive offhand. But then,
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
I guess ones that know what they're doing.
They've also got like a dedicated person to answer the email address, I guess.
Sure, yeah, for sure. But
The big like takeaway, like our approach, which I think is a good one if you're pitching a game, is like if you're cold calling, just try and get your game in a GIF. Try get whatever the game is. If you can get that in a GIF and stick that at the top of the email, and they're right from that, then like you're off to a good start, basically.
Interesting. I would think that would trigger a lot of spam filters, maybe. Like that's my first thought. But like I guess that makes sense if you can just like showcase what it is visually immediately rather than like have a text heavy thing that they gotta read and then click on stuff. Like that's a lot of work and they probably get there's probably like 1,000 people emailing them a day. So like okay, so your style like immediately stood out to me when I saw it as like this fun, like interesting. It's going to be like silly, wacky, a little bit adult humor thing. Like, can you talk me through what this game is actually, what this game is? Like, can you just like do a little pitch of like what people can expect, I guess, or like what you're developing?
Thank goodness. Also, now I'm thinking that maybe like the replies we didn't get is because it went to spam. All these publishers.
Should have had this conversation before.
Yeah, I take it all back. Thank goodness you're here. You play as a salesman, stranded in a surreal northern English town of Barnsworth. And you like arrive early for a meeting with the mayor. And then you can kill time by like exploring the town and completing like a series of bizarre odd jobs for the residents that live there. That's like what you do is like a tagline, but like it's all about kind of like this kind of a explorer-y, comedy, arty type of. This is a horrible description.
Yeah, I mean, so, no,
Yeah,
I'm just, yeah, you're right. That was a good description. No, it wasn't no, but yeah, you were on the right track.
yeah.
It's a comedy experience. Yeah, I'm also about it, the pitch. We never got it right, which is a wonder we ever managed to get any funding. I think
So
it
you're a
works in.
salesman with a mayoral meeting, and you arrive in town early, and you
Yeah.
can complete odd jobs for the residents, which end
Yeah.
up in like slapstick situations.
Yeah, exactly. Someone cleverly has described it as like basically like sketch comedy, which hadn't really occurred to us before, but like that's kind of what it is. You sort of.
Yeah, it's like a game version of a sketch comedy.
Is there another game out there like this, like that you can think of?
There's like games similar, like Night in the Woods is kind of the format's a bit similar, but it's not really like it's a different tone of voice. There's definitely games that like focus on just like goofy jokes and exploration. I don't know though. I can't think of a good example.
Yeah, I think we didn't really go into this with the mind of like, oh, we'll do this sort of game or we'll do this, but a game. It was very much like we had these ideas that we wanted to explore and this style, like a house style, and we sort of like sort of moved from that instead of being like, we'll do our own spin on this genre. It's not really a genre game and doesn't have too much in the way of like challenge mechanics.
Yeah.
So although like you could loosely call it a puzzle game, we wouldn't maybe like advertise it to puzzle gamers, I suppose.
Yeah. It's a puzzling game.
So puzzle. I guess a big question about like gameplay, if it's not like hitting on a genre and it's more of a standalone thing, like how do you develop the gameplay and know it's going to be like fun for somebody else to play? Because like, you know, you're creating this to essentially sell it, I suppose, because you have a publisher and, you know, it's on these platforms, etc. How do you know that people are like, when you're developing the game mechanics, how do you know that people are going to like enjoy and find it fun, I guess?
It's not guaranteed. It's certainly
not guaranteed. But like, I mean, like, okay, so say you have situation A where you're like, okay, the character could go this way and do this thing, and then and then you refine it, versus like a situation B where you're like, well, instead of doing this, they could be doing this instead. Like, how do you decide what's going to be fun and what's not going to be fun, and what's like it, like, you know, you have different areas in the game, and like there's jokes obviously, but like, you know, how do you decide if the gameplay is what's going to be fun or not for somebody else?
Yeah, it's tough. And I think that was definitely one of the hardest parts of, yeah, the design of it, because like the verbs are very simple.
You can only run around and slap, or you can jump and then slap. That's two things.
So you can jump and slap.
To, like, cause change in the world and for things to happen, it's like there'll be other characters or other things playing out as a result of you kind of prodding and poking.
Yeah.
Which means that like, in answer to like the question of like, all right, what happens now with the next bit of this game, and then after and after, it could be anything. So it's quite hard to build around that. But in terms of like, all right, what's going to be fun? We basically, things are rooted in like the joke or like the silly voice or the
character,
or whatever the kind of hook is of the, I guess, the sketch.
Yeah.
And then we sort of tease the gameplay out of that.
Mm.
So as long as like the joke is solid.
Yeah, so like there's a fishmonger called Mr. Bish, and he sells fish and cigarettes. It's Mr. Bish's Cigs and Fishes. And we like the character so much that like, okay, how can you interact with Mr. Bish and his Cigs? Like maybe you help set up his stall, and then we like start with Mr. Bish and like a stupid voice basically.
Gotcha. Okay, so it's like you're playing through an elaborate joke constantly.
Yeah,
that's the funnest way to tell a joke, right? Over and over again for a period of time.
Oh no, now I gotta slap. I gotta jump around some fishes to get a cigarette joke. I mean, at least for me, like as like animating on this game, like all the jokes were like very clear to me, and like the there's a lot of visual gags and stuff like that too. So I'm very excited to play. Okay, you mentioned before that you kind of paid the price by not creating 10 games beforehand. Like, tell me about the experience of being like just two people with a publisher and having to build a team, and like professionally, I guess.
Yeah, that's been a really tough part. I think it's like, first up, like we haven't built a game like before, apart from the Good Time Garden, which is kind of by the seat of our pants. So like we don't have like any of the, or didn't have any of the like existing like knowledge base. Well, I mean, like, not knowledge base, but like the existing like rules that you'd use to build a game and existing workflows. And then we also, because the game isn't like other games, we don't have like that structure either. So it's really like, I say like a lot of the development has been like learning how to actually make the game.
Yeah, for sure.
Maybe like 60%.
yeah. A startling amount has been, refining processes and like scrapping things, and it seems like every week we like change the way we organize like workflow or like task management or the kind of systems in the game and stuff.
Yeah.
So like from like a technical standpoint, like the Good Time Garden was like very janky under the hood, like duct taped together.
Yeah.
I guess because we do it part time, but also we're kind of winging it and learning as we go.
Yeah.
And that held up because it was only like a 30-minute experience in like one space, whereas this is like way, way more ambitious. Like there are, you know, dozens and dozens and dozens of individual sort of screens or levels.
Mm.
So like facilitating all that was a big learning curve, and we have to design things and engineer stuff properly from the ground up.
Also, like, I don't know how to make, I still basically don't know how to make games. Like, I'm an animator, like, started as an animator, and now I'm like a game developer through working with Will, but like, I started the project with like like programming knowledge, and I ended the project with even less programming knowledge. So I don't know what to do without Will. It's like, I think in a way it's like a strength, but in other ways it's just like, if we'd have worked on projects before, like 10 games, then I'd have learned how games worked, and that would have like helped a lot. Whereas now we've learned how this game works very well, but that's it.
So you don't think this, all the learnings you experienced on this game would translate to a new game if you were to create it, unless it was like in the same world style?
Some would, I think.
Yeah, I think there's quite a lot would go over, but there's also like very specific sort of like, yeah, in-house terminology and practice and stuff that like, it's very, bespoke ways of developing that are just for making cigarettes pop out of fish.
Which is like the like playpen that I've been in for the past 3 years.
Right.
I've never gone outside of that. And then Will's just taking care of me and be like, no, just don't look under here. Just stay in the playpen of the...
Just cigarettes.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Okay. So like, I was going to ask you, like, what was the toughest experience you had during this journey? Because, you know, like creating a demo, finding investors, like, you know, hiring a team, learning how to code, it's like, I mean, I was international, so working with people internationally and then all that stuff, like, what, maybe like give me a timeline of like how everything went down, I guess.
What was the hardest part?
The hardest bit. I think generally game development is very hard, just kind of as the bottom line, but I think a lot of the design was probably the hardest part. So like I say, we're kind of like, we weren't working off any existing structure. And when the answer to the question of like what happens next in the game is like, can be literally anything. It's very hard to like write and develop off that. And then also I think the second biggest, or not the biggest, challenge is just like managing scope and predicting how long things are going to take.
Yeah.
I don't think we've ever been able to get that right.
So the hardest part is like underestimating the work. Consistently.
So like, what's work that you would underestimate? Like coding work, or like animation work, or like implementation?
Invisible work.
Everything. I think sometimes with coding stuff, sometimes it's easier than I think. Sometimes it's like, way more work than I think it's going to be. But then with animation stuff, it tends to be the case that like, it's less like the specific of like, oh, how long does this one animation take? It's like, oh, how long does a sequence of these characters interacting take? And we'll sort of like intuitively say, oh, it's maybe like a week or so. But then when you break it down into its component parts and you get inside of that, there are like 5 weeks of animation work needs to happen. You're like, hang on, it doesn't add up. I can't fit 5 weeks into it.
Think so. If you go back to like your question about the timeline, it was like, build demo and pitch, and then I pitched, and then we got kind of funding, and then we went to like designing the game, and then at some point we kind of pivoted to building a vertical slice, which is like one little bit of the game that looks like it's final fidelity, it looks like the finished thing, but it's only like 5 minutes long or whatever. And to build that, like the process was like, like an animator, and I just like built storyboards, and I think we just like filled the storyboards with what would happen in that, in each like panel kind of thing, and then just built that, which like did work, but it took like, because it was all like each panel to storyboard is a new level, they took so long to build, and you're only in them for like 10 seconds, so like, okay, well that took like 2 weeks and took 10 seconds. What happens if you like, if you have 100 of these panels? And
if
like,
you want to create a multi-hour experience, like, how do we...
The maps just doesn't add up, Terry.
Yeah, it's not looking good. Yeah, and also, those early days, we also like had like a very like waterfall way of doing things where you just draw everything Final Fidelity up top and hand me just like A4 printouts of all these PNGs, and I'd have to somehow shuffle them around in the right order and feed them into the computer and hope something worked out of it. But yeah, off the back of like, this period of like pre-production and then the vertical slice, and I went back to pre-production again, realizing we had to change the way we were working and how things were set up. And then I think gradually over the time we built up like a lot like more robust systems and and practices. And now you hand me laminated JPEGs. I put them in the toaster and they come out boiling hot.
But we butter them together.
That sounds like an experience. So okay, so you're I mean, the game's not out yet. It's coming out soon. But like I guess how has everything changed for you since the game trailer is launched? It's been announced, like, you know, the game's been marketed, it's backed, it's gonna appear on like legit platforms, like et cetera, et cetera. Like how's the experience been kind of as this is wrapping up and coming out into the world?
Wrapping up's a generous description of what's happening now.
Okay, well, it's not. You're not starting out right now.
The announcement was really, really good. I think I personally was like quite scared of announcement for a while. Whereas, like, I don't know. I had tons of confidence up top with like the Good Time Garden and like pitching and then getting funding and building, and then like when it came to actually like announcing the next big thing, it felt like for whatever reason maybe there was like more expectation, which isn't that true. I mean, the Good Time Garden did okay, but like wasn't, it's not like people were like, well, what will Cult Slipper do next? It was just kind of like,
I was
but yeah, I think it's just like delivering on like, even like to ourselves, like we've worked for 3 years, here it is, the kind of thing, and then looking at it in the daylight. I was scared that it'll look good and then upload it to YouTube and then I'll play the video and it'd be like 2 FPS. I'm like, oh my God, this is terrible.
Yeah, I mean, it was daunting, yeah, for sure. And like definitely the expectations to ourselves is like a kind of status, because like we put so much into this. It's kind of raises the stakes pretty high. Announcement, yeah, did feel pretty good. It was a bit of a whirlwind where we went to these like conventions and stuff in Germany and the States, and we'd gone from like being in complete secret and hiding away in a little room on our own for so long to like putting it out in front of people and seeing people play it for the first time in person.
Was
wild. I remember just like a day at this PAX, this convention, just watching people play it, just I was just foaming at the mouth, just like stood behind them like, do you like it? Say you like it, please clap,
speak to the mic.
So how's the response been, like as you're watching people play it? Is it, I'd be frustrated, I'd be like, no, go over there, you're not doing it right, like whatever. But like how's the response been of like when people have played it or watched the trailers or things? Or
Good.
Good
person to like it.
Yeah. I just think that we've been with it for so long. Like, you know, we start out, we'll do, you know, like one day, like years ago, probably you said, give your wife the best, give her big rums, big pies.
Yeah.
And we just keep saying that to each other for ages. And we're like, is that funny? I don't know. Is that good? And then eventually, like, you know, someone draws it and then we get someone to do a really great take of the line or whatever.
Yeah.
Is it working? I don't know. And then when people like, we see people laugh at it, we're like, oh my God, okay. It was like this big sort of moment of relief of like, okay, it does work.
Yeah.
And we have seen people like play through the whole thing now and like, yeah, just enjoy the whole experience and it's end of scenes, which, you know, I've been able to just unwind my spine a little bit.
Isn't it just the best when you tell a joke and somebody else laughs unprompted?
Yeah. We've been telling the joke for 3 years. It's good. And then the other thing is like some stuff doesn't work, and it's like that's the thing about the process is that like it takes so long to like build the thing. But, like, so I didn't work. Well, I guess that just doesn't work, but that's in the game still. But touch wood, there's not been too much of that, I hope.
Yeah, because it's so visual and yes, it's the joke only works when you can see the full thing and hear the full thing. It's impossible to test when it's just like a grey box prototype. So yeah, like you say, kind of like self locked in now.
I'm curious about you. So, Good Time Garden is like pretty R-rated, I guess, even though it's just like cartoon characters. And Thank Goodness You're Here is also like, I don't know what rating you're going to give it, but I'm wondering, like, did your publisher have any pushback or say in like the content of the game and like the development of it, or was it more like here's like some money, go and develop the thing you wanted to originally?
Much more, almost entirely the latter, I would say. Yeah, they were very, Panic had been very hands off, like with the creative direction. That's been like left to us pretty much entirely, which
Yeah,
has been really
sure.
nice. There's been like the only kind of notes we've got is like, oh, in America, that's a bad word, kind of thing. Like, oh, okay,
A
right.
couple, yeah, a couple of colloquialisms we have here don't fly across the
Yeah,
pond.
America's
But
very censorship friendly.
yeah, by and large, like it's been good. I think there are a few exposed penises.
Just a
I couldn't
few.
even go in really. But we'll see what the writing and
How many are there actually?
actually no, I think maybe
Maybe
there's
there's
one.
one. Yeah.
But you do see it, and there is penis.png definitely does exist and is in the game. So
They're game assets that exist in the game, but they don't go into gameplay.
they're not really, yeah. So there's something you animated, Terry, that was like underneath someone's trousers. You like fully animated their underwear or something, and I was like, hang on, this isn't even, why did he do this?
Oh,
Do
it
you remember what it was? A
a few
joke
jokes in
ruined.
there. You're talking about like I put some buddy's underwear underneath, like you never even see it anyways, but I just included it.
Yeah, you animated them with trousers on.
Yeah.
Perfect. Yeah. I went into
Everything's
the
gonna
barber
line up.
shop there and turned it off.
Why not? Why not? I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know if that, I think that was maybe in my animation test. I don't know if it was actually in the gameplay, maybe in terms
I think
of
you're
underwear.
right. Yeah.
Yeah,
No, true,
it was
true.
in my animation test because I was like, I don't know, I was just having fun.
Yeah.
How hard was it to find, I guess, Unity or like animators once you, because like, I'm from Toronto and you guys were living in Europe and like, and there was a whole bunch of international people on the project. How difficult was it to find like people that could like match, I guess, your style and work in Unity? Like, I had never, like, I had played around with Unity myself trying to build my own game years ago, but like, I learned so much as being on the project trying to build my assets in Unity. Like, was that a difficult thing to find from people?
Yes.
Yes. Very
Yeah.
hard. I think maybe potentially restricted by the budget, but I think also
Yeah.
it's like it doesn't seem to be specifically in our style.
Yeah.
The sort of like the frame by frame, doing things with some cell animation, but with also like some rotation and translation and stuff
Yeah.
in an engine. You don't really see it a lot, I think.
No. Well, you can see like this is really talented frame by frame animators. And there's really talented like Unity animators who are great with like kind of more like rigging animation, I
Yeah,
guess.
the bone stuff,
But like yeah, like bone based stuff. But then like the combination seemed to be kind of rare. But also we were like less plugged into the industry a little bit back then as well. And yeah, like sales budget restrictions. But yeah, it was very difficult. Yeah, we ended up, I think like you and a lot of the animators actually didn't have like any Unity experience. So we ended up kind of teaching a
Yeah,
lot of
you made some like hour-long tutorials or something. Well, maybe all of them together were like, but you would video yourself like doing the things, and then I would try to study and match. And then sometimes I would do things in a janky way that didn't work. And then Will would come back a week later and be like, Terry, you did all this wrong. Dang
the Dude, I can't believe you've not done this right first time with no
it.
experience. Yeah.
Yes,
Yeah.
that's exactly how.
We probably expected a lot, like way too much, like off the bat. And yeah, that was a big learning for us because we were just like we were also it was you weren't just learning Unity, it was also our specific practices and stuff and all like our mad tools and conventions and everything that we just kind of been scrolling on the side of our came for us.
This makes complete sense to us.
Yeah,
makes sense.
It's like a Pip, like she's another talent animator we've worked with, Pip Williamson. Like we worked with her for like an entire year, and then at the end she got like really, really good at like working with an engine. But it still took like a year to get kind of, well, not took it didn't take a year, but like it took her like 6 months to get to that point.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, well, for me it was like it was quite a process, because like I do the roughs, send them to you, get them approved, then do the cleanup, but then like deconstruct the cleanup into like separate assets and then push those into Unity and then rebuild them in Unity and make sure all the connections were all right. So it was like my first video game experience too. So it was a lot of learning curve for me as well. So it makes sense that it was tough. And like, I guess talking with other video game people, it doesn't seem like there's a lot of people that do integration in Unity. There's usually like a separate position that like takes assets and puts them in game. So the animators are just like animating, and then the developers are like just developing, I guess. I'm wondering, this is almost done for you, or it's going to wrap up soon. Are you going to make another video game? Is this like a new thing for you? Are you on the map a little bit more with like who you guys are and who Cole Supper is? Do you have things in the works, or are you like, we hate video games, we're never making another one, we're going to become fishermen and cigarette salesmen?
I think it oscillates violently between both. Some days it's just like, we're so good at this now, we'll make a thousand new games.
A thousand.
And other days I'm just like, you know, seconds away from throwing my computer off the balcony.
Yeah, maybe we'll see how it feels when it's released.
That's, yeah, I think we definitely want a bit of a break, I think, is a thing. And then a bit of a reflection.
Mm.
And we'll probably get drawn back to being on the computer.
I reckon so, yeah.
But yeah, we'll see what happens.
Have you been just working full-time on at Cole Supper, the game studio, ever since? Like, even now? Like, is it a full-time thing? Or are you like, when you take a break, are you going to go back into the, I guess, quote-unquote, the real world and get jobs again and then...
Full time,
for sure. I think take a break. I might.
Yeah.
I don't know. Take a moped across the peaks, the moors or something. Yeah.
I might get into claymation.
Yeah.
But realize the camera's off for the last 3 months.
Yeah. You're gonna get into claymation.
That would be rad.
No, that sounds even harder than game design.
What? Get out of here. I guess like, when it comes out, what do you hope the success of this game is? Like, do you want it to, like, what if it reaches like 250,000 downloads, like Good Time Garden, or more or less? Like, do you have expectations of how it's going to go?
We have various spreadsheets so we can plug imaginary numbers in.
Yeah, we've got really great made-up number generators.
Amazing made-up number generators.
Yeah, we get big numbers out if we put big numbers in. And we're like, wow, that's like... how many sandwiches could we get with this?
Upwards of two.
I think an important thing for us is like, I was gonna say like, yeah, just like making the thing we want.
Yeah,
to admit. Sure. But also critical and financial success. So I think it's like,
yeah,
we also want that as well. So I don't know. I think we got high hopes, I think.
Yeah, I think what you can do, like you say, is just try and satisfy that, like our creative, like, you know, like vision or whatever. And I think it happens when you play, like when we play through the game, there's spots where it's like alarm bells going, it's like, oh, that doesn't feel right for some reason, like that's not the thing that we imagined. And it's just a case of like polishing all those bits.
Yeah.
And then you've got a good analogy where you say like it's almost like there's a big rock, you start a big rock and you knock it down to like two bits, and you knock that down into bits, and it's like just about knocking it all down until you get to like that like a plane of sand kind of thing, and that's like what you imagined in your head, I guess, at the start. So I think if you're going to satisfy that, like craving for sand, then
sand on you.
Yeah. Then that's all you can ask for. And then like, yeah, I mean, it'd be awesome if it's got like millions of players, but see what happens.
Yeah, sure. I think we, there's some sort of like mass appeal, but I think we're kind of resigned to it being a bit like an artsy thing potentially. But yeah, I think a big thing is like it finds its audience. I think that's what we really hope. Like whatever that audience is, as long as like people who are like
Yeah.
As into it as they were the Good Time Garden. Like, we still get emails now and again from people being like, oh, I really love the Good Time Garden. I show it to my friends and stuff. You know, I play it so often, whatever.
And you do write those emails, but it's still
Yeah. I
nice.
do it in character, and then you do it sometimes. So we make each other feel better by role playing. Yeah. But no, I think it's, no, I think just as long as, yeah, someone somewhere plays it on the computer and likes it. Yeah.
It makes sense. I mean, for me, it's like such a refined style. Like, it's so specific in what it is. I think it finds its own audience, if that makes sense. It's like, and I hope
Yeah.
it's a big audience. I guess one last question for me is, like, you know, you have Cole Supper, the studio name. Like, you have this title under the studio now. Are you gonna continue with Cole Supper growing it, and, like, you know, one day, like, have a full studio with the permanent employees and like different things, like maybe video games or like other assets. Because I know that you're like, James, I know you've worked on a lot of independent like animation things in the past. Or is it like, are you going forward as Cole Supper?
I think that having a building an empire of staff and stuff sounds quite intense.
Yeah.
And judging by how poorly we've managed ourselves, I don't know about
Oh, no.
but yeah, I think it being just like there's always an idea that Cole Supper is the start of a always span ahead of like our creative endeavors.
Yeah, there's also like the idea of like sustainable practice, which is a
Oh
very nice
yeah.
sounding
Yeah, that sounds
thing.
nice.
Yeah, it sounds good, doesn't it? It sounds
Yeah, I like the
comforting.
sound of
But yeah, I think growth for the sake of it, we're not super keen on. We wouldn't want to just like, you know, I don't think Kersey's ever taken on truckloads of money and then just like, you
because that's just
know,
obligations.
10Xing and bringing on those people for the sake of it. I think we grow carefully and gradually
Yeah.
as and when it feels like we need to for whatever it is we're making next.
Yeah, it'd be based off the product, I think.
Yeah.
Makes sense. Makes sense. Cool.
Saying that, if you are a venture capitalist that's listening to this, maybe, yeah, we would take your money, and yeah, we'd
Yeah, we
definitely grow.
ten
We'd
times
we'd grow
that,
for sure. Yeah.
yeah.
Well, there you
Almost
go.
that
Yeah, definitely all the
as
real people for sure
well.
that are employed. Yeah.
Well, I guess that was my last question. Is it, unless there's, do you have any questions or topics you want to bring up still that we didn't chat about, or questions for me? I don't know. Like, is there anything you wanted to say as we're wrapping up?
How did you like working for calls with calls up a
How did I like? Do you want the nice podcast answer or the gritty truth answer? I'm just kidding.
Oh
I loved it. I
God.
was really sad. I was really sad that when it ended. I mean, like, it was a little difficult working with the like time difference. Like, that was the biggest thing, because like, I'd be ready at 9 a.m. but then what? That was like, what's like evening for you or something? There was only like 3 or 4 hours that we crossed over, and so like, I'd work in the afternoons and then not be able to get any feedback till the next morning, and then you'd message me like in the middle of the night, and then I wake up. I think that was difficult, but otherwise, like, I love the style, I love the humor. It was like really insightful for me to learn Unity. Like, I kind of miss that part. But I don't know, it was great. It was actually a stepping stone for the current job that I have been on for the last almost 2 years, which is another video game. So yeah, I'm really excited for it to come out, and it was. You guys are both funny. It was always
Thanks.
nice chatting with you guys.
That's what it's talking about. We can actually stop now.
So.
That's cool. Yeah. I think the time zone was a killer. And also, just like, I don't know whose idea was to just be like, all right, let's just get a team of animators to start all on various different time zones in this brand new software, and we'll just manage them all and design for them all at the same time.
Yeah, I guess we were just kind of kidding ourselves that. I'm not even kidding ourselves, I don't know. I guess we were just very
We
naive
just didn't know,
as to how that would
yeah.
work, and like the demands that the place on everyone, going both ways. But yeah, it's
Yeah.
been a big learning. But
That's
yeah.
that was the other thing, was like designing for it took me like the same amount of time to design a thing and then brief somebody else and for other people as it did to just like do the thing
Yeah.
self kind of thing, which was a big learning.
Yeah, definitely in some cases, but I think we also got like some really great material. Like, yeah. Like Terry, some of the Yotsmeyo stuff there is like still slaps some of those character animations.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Yeah, that's probably not actually correct. I think I just couldn't keep up front of the design, like train.
Yeah, I think small stuff definitely it was like it was quicker for you just do it, but then like the bigger character designs like comps and stuff, it was
Yeah, actually, I completely kidding myself. It was a
yeah.
team of 10 of like 5 people doing work for months and months. We're
Yeah.
talking about.
Well, it makes sense. I mean, like you were two guys trying to like manage the whole project while also working full time on the project while also managing people in different time zones. Like like there were quite a few people around the world working on it. So it totally makes sense. It sounds like a nightmare, actually. It sounds like great. Yeah, like, oh yeah, I'm working with people all over the world. And then it's like, oh no, I have to respond to somebody at 3 a.m. and then at 4 p.m. and then all this crazy stuff. So yeah, I guess that's so like in the future, if you were to work on a game again, would you do the time zone thing again now that you've figured out, your process a little bit more, or you're like, we're gonna do locals only?
I don't know. The thing is, like, everyone was really, really good, which felt like, or like, a shame that, like, if like, I don't know, if we had a better system in place, then the bit less of our, like, of teaching and stuff, they could just, like, shoot off and do tons of awesome animation. But it's just a case of, like, building that system and, like, how easy that is to communicate to someone.
Yeah, I think it seems like it does work for some studios or some indies and some bigger ones where they just have, the sun will never set on production because like, someone's got a bed, someone else is picking something up. But I think for that to work, like, yeah, the processes have to be just like watertight. And it was like we say, like the point you guys were on, we were still learning how to make the game ourselves, I suppose. So I think, yeah, if we had like really tight production pipeline, maybe we could do, all time zones all the time, sort of thing. But yeah, and
Makes
so
sense. Or at least like similar time zones, like plus or minus a couple hours, not like 12
I think
hours.
also beyond the time zone stuff, just like having someone in the room, like Pip, like because she was just in the room with us, it was just
Yeah.
like it felt like some cheese just to be like, oh, let's just point the screen, but like this just needs turning off or whatever.
Right,
Whereas
versus like jump on a call. We were using Sync Sketch to like go over each other's animations and like, yeah. Interesting. I mean, there's a lot of cohesion working together as well. So yeah. But overall, my experience was good. Like I said, I miss it, and I'm really excited for it to come out. And I'm happy I worked with you guys because I have been following you for a while, and it was kind of like a. I remember like applying immediately and being like, I really, 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 really hope they respond to my email, and you did immediately, like really fast.
Next, because we were buzzing though when we get your email. We were like, this is it, this
This
final
is
week.
it. Yay.
We were really excited.
Well,
And then
dang it.
I
Yeah, and then like yeah, I don't know. You guys were very like even with the video tutorials and like setting up Unity, it was perfect and very easily. So yeah. Yeah, is there anything else you wanted to bring up in the chat with the people should know, the creators of Thank Goodness You're Here?
Should they know?
That's nothing.
Fine. It could be nothing.
No, I don't know. I think follow your dreams, stay in school.
Don't ever see.
Don't make a video game.
Don't make a video game. Fair enough.
I don't know. I don't know.
Give
Any
him the email.
offhand advice? I think the biggest one. I think the turning point for us and what made it work in that initial instance with the good, 10 band and stuff is we were finally at a point where we could both sit down and just do the thing without too much friction having to look stuff up. I think when I think back to like, other side projects we may have started like with each other or other people, it's like, oh, we've got this idea. And also I mean, it was kind of like understanding scope and stuff as well. But being able to just like, oh, I'm gonna do this, and you sit down after work or whatever, and you just like get it done without barriers. I'd like say if you're wanting to get into, I guess I don't know, maybe any career thing, but video games specifically, get yourself to a stage where like you have the understanding enough to be able to just like
sit down
and do it.
Yeah,
which sounds very obvious, but
yeah,
I think maybe for a lot of people starting out,
getting over that friction, like, you mean?
Yeah, they're like kind of maybe overly ambitious for their first thing.
I mean, it sounds obvious, but like I'm on Reddit all the time and people are like, hey, I like animation. I'm thinking of quitting my job and getting to, and it's like, have you ever animated before? Like, it's don't do that. So it makes a lot of sense to get some synergies and workflows figured out before you jump ship and go full time into this thing. So,
yeah, it's that thing, like, it's that classic, like, Ira Glass quote where it's like, for the longest time, your skills are just terrible, but your like taste is really good, which is why you got into the thing. So for like the first years of your creative like practice, you're just making like stuff that doesn't align with your taste. It's like nowhere near as good as your taste, so it just feels horrible. So it's just like getting like over that kind of like threshold.
Right.
Like I look back to like, the first animations like I made when I was like 16, 17. I'm on Newgrounds, and it's just like, oh god, why?
I'm looking up on Newgrounds now. No, it totally makes sense, and I haven't really heard that taste level thing or the hourglass before. But it's like your taste is higher than your skill level, so that's why you keep trying to push yourself. Makes sense.
It's like the reason you got into the thing is like, so you have good taste, right? So
yeah,
you'll be doing it, and then just you're making stuff that you don't like for like ages and ages, which sucks.
So what happens when you're really skilled but you have bad taste?
I think you get really rich, don't you?
Well, maybe then you work for somebody else on their project or something, I guess.
I don't know. I guess, I don't know. You see projects all the time where it's like, wow, that's been made amazingly, like, but what's the idea?
Yeah.
Like,
Yeah, production value is really high, but it's just so gaudy and trite. Like, you'd never consider making it, but then it absolutely sells gangbusters.
Yeah. Yeah.
Why did I just swallow my pride and make, you know, like Scooby-Doo with guns?
But it looks great.
Yeah.
Cool. All right. Well, thank you, Will and James, so much for coming on the chat. It's been a pleasure. And I'm really excited for the game to come out. So I'll be looking out for that. So thank you so much for coming on the chat.
Thank you, Terry.
Thank you, Terry.
Thank you for lots of beautiful animation as well.
Cool. You're welcome. I can't wait to watch it when I'm playing the game.
Is that going to be weird?
It's going to be fun. I'll be like, oh no, they changed this, or they didn't do that right, or I did this wrong, or oh god, this is in there, and I animated this. It's probably going to be fun. All right, well, thank you so much. And if you're listening and you want to check out Cole Supper, who made Thank Goodness You're Here, you can follow them on Twitter at Cole Supper, and you can wishlist the game on Steam. I'm going to include a link for that as well. And if you would like, you can follow James Carba and all his silly animations and stories that he posts on Instagram, and I include a link for that as well. And thank you so much for listening. That's all for now. Okay, bye. The music for this podcast was composed by Willem Mendo and the graphics by Luhan Wang. I encourage you to look them up if you've enjoyed their work.